This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get going on a midweek edition of Sports Daily. Looks like we got a little bit of a warm-up towards the next chilling trend on the weekend. So enjoy it today as we get going on this Wednesday edition. Shane Dennis on the other side of the aisle with what's on tap today, courtesy of our friends from Side Pockets, Kellogg and Tyler.
The Major League Baseball Awards have been coming out by the day. Managers of the Year announced last night. We'll talk about that, as Boston Red Sox manager Alex Cora did not get the American League Manager of the Year. I'll get Bruce's thoughts on that. The Cy Young Award winners will be tonight, MVPs the day after. 9:25, we have a Division III football program that's suspended indefinitely because of lack of success. So we'll kind of take a deep dive into historically bad college football seasons and teams and streaks as Earl M. College, Division III school in the Midwest, has lost 53 consecutive football games, and they're going to suspend their program. So we'll talk some college football in the next segment. Brian Haney will be along at 10 o'clock, of course. KU play-by-play voice stays busy. We'll hear some Greg Marshall sound coming up at 10:25, just ahead of the Davidson game, as Wichita State travels to Charleston. Reveal our State Farm picks, who got what right on this day. Metallica ticket giveaway, too. So full show for you here on Sports Daily, 869-1240, if you want to be a part of it. And join us on the Tad's Locker Room hotline. So Brian Snitker and Bob Melvin get the Manager of the Year awards in Major League Baseball. The manager of the team that won the World Series did not get it. Bob Melvin wins it for the third time. Bob Melvin won, 97 games?
Yeah.
Plus 22 from last year. So I'll ask you, Red Sox fan guy, you okay with that?
Sure. Because this award generally follows the pattern of do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
And from that standpoint, I get it. I would have swung and missed on both of these. I would have thought that Cora would have won it in the American League, only because the Red Sox weren't picked to win the division.
Yeah.
Houston and New York were getting all of the preseason flow. But and especially the way that he managed his team in such a interesting way in the postseason, I thought might have curried some favor. But when do they stop the voting for this, Shane?
Yeah,
I can't
remember. It makes you wonder whether that would have come into play. If I have a feeling, and I'd have to look it up, that votes are counted before, or at least put in before the World Series. Because
okay. I mean, you know.
And
it's
very possible that people would have changed their minds if they wanted to, you know. Whatever's in your brain lasts sometimes is most important, you know, and Bob Melvin would have been in the rearview mirror by the time the World Series rolled around.
No question.
He got 18 first-place votes, 10 second-place votes. Alex Cora did finish second in the voting. He had 7 first-place votes and actually had more second-place votes and 11 third-place votes, but Bob Melvin, the majority of his were first and second. So he fairly easily outdistanced Alex Cora for Manager of the Year.
Yeah.
He's won it previously with the Diamondbacks in 2007 and the A's in 2012. Bob Melvin's only the 8th manager to earn the award at least 3 times. Meanwhile, Brian Snitker joined his mentor and former boss, Bobby Cox, who won 3 times as well with Atlanta and once with Toronto, as the only Braves managers to get Manager of the Year award. The Braves finished at the top of the NL East after being picked by many to finish third or fourth, kind of to Bruce's point that the improvement compared to what we thought you were going to do sometimes will get you a manager or coach of the year award. And you got to say that the Braves are way ahead of schedule. And Philadelphia, way ahead of schedule.
No question. Although I really thought Craig Counsell deserved the recognition. It's not like Milwaukee was a returning playoff team. Now, they were the best team record-wise in all of baseball the year before that didn't get into the playoffs. But I still thought that they took a pretty solid leap. You know, I mean, it's like I always go back to a story with Roy Williams. We were talking one day, and it wasn't just he and I. We were in a group of people, and he was talking about his golf game. And, of course, Roy is a notoriously good to great golfer.
Roy Williams, the North Carolina basketball coach?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Really, really good golfer. And he used the example of, you know, just about anybody with some hard work can go from a 12 to a 6 as far as a handicap.
Yeah.
But show me the guys that can go from a 6 to a scratch. That's the harder leap. And it's kind of that way in baseball, too, I think. You know, you can improve. A baseball team can improve pretty mightily. And Atlanta's a really good example, of that. You always love the stories of teams that you don't count on coming out of nowhere, kind of, to be relevant. Phillies, I get that. But show me the teams that are good enough to have been there the year before but still find ways to make improvement, even though it may be more incremental. I like guys like that. So from that standpoint, Craig Counsell, to me, would get the vote. A guy that took a team, they tweaked it, obviously. They added a couple of pieces, and when you add the MVP or the presumptive MVP, then, you know, the chances are you're going to be a lot better baseball team. But I thought they were. I thought that the Brewers were, the Red Sox obviously were the dominant team in baseball, and I'm glad for that. But I thought the Brewers were as good a story as any team in baseball this year, and it was because of the more incremental improvement that they made instead of the leap that they made in Atlanta.
Can the manager or coach of the year ever be the manager or coach that was predicted to win the league? I mean,
I hate to be that guy, but if
they were picked to finish last,
how many times was Gene manager of the year or
hardly
coach
ever.
Of the year in the bout?
Hardly ever.
I mean, I seriously, and it always it bothered me. And not because, you know, Gene needed the sunshine blown up his backside, for goodness sakes, but because the guy was just a damn good coach who, oh, by the way, brought in
recruited
talent,
all those players.
Recruited
yeah.
all of yep. those players. I mean, I love people that used to say, well, yeah, anyone could win with that. And I'm like, well, yeah, but not anyone can get that.
Yeah, go get them.
You know. Yeah, go get them is exactly what he did, and it always bothered me that
that kind of drives home my point right there. It's
yeah,
like
exactly.
Eh, if we picked you to finish last and you finish fifth,
there you go.
You're the coach of the year because you really coached up a.
Are you really coach of the year?
Bad bunch. I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, really,
and
it's fine.
Kind of to that end, Gabe Kapler didn't get any votes for National League Manager of the Year. Dave Roberts got a third-place vote.
Yeah.
Joe Maddon got one first-place vote and one third-place vote.
Yeah.
And Mike Schilt got 2 seconds and a third.
Wow.
Yeah. He finished fourth
in
Manager of the Year. Bud Black was a distant third, and it was fairly close between Snitker and the aforementioned Craig Counsell.
You know, I think, and I don't know, Shane. I mean, everybody has their own criteria on how this thing should be, and I don't know how big a deal it is. And although I did talk with Bud about it before they took off, and he admits that kind of respect from your peers is valued.
Sure.
It's not the full measure of what you're doing professionally, but it's always nice to have that kind of that kind of recognition, understanding that a good job, because nobody understands how good a job that you really do other than the guys that are really doing it themselves. But my measure would be guys that do it consistently. Who are the guys that are doing it year to year? Are they make how big of a bump do they do it from the year before? But are they winning guys? I mean, guys like Madden are they're damn good managers. They do a great job with people. He did a good job with people in Tampa. He's doing a good job with rosters in Chicago. Guys love playing for him. They do play for him. And he's a postseason manager year in and year out. And I know what the bottom line is. I mean, I know what how much money they're spending mm-hmm. on players, and I get all of that, but you still got to manage people. And so for me, that's the difference. Mm. Or do you do it consistently? And do you do it consistently well?
So the rookies of the year have already been announced. Shohei Ohtani, the two-way player from the Angels, took it away from two Yankees, and Ronald Acuna Jr. for the Braves hit 26 home runs and stole 16 bases. So there's your rookies of the year. Tonight, Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, and Jose Ramirez will have slugged it out. No, wait. That's tomorrow night. I'm sorry. That's the MVP. We'll have to wait till tomorrow night to find that out.
Cy Young tonight.
The Cy Young tonight, yeah. Let's see here. Corey Kluber, Justin Verlander, Blake Snell, your finalists for tonight in the
American. Doesn't Blake Snell have to win that?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I don't think it's much of a debate. And this is the long debate between how much a National League pitcher can really help himself in winning games. Jacob DeGrom only won 10. DeGrom, Scherzer, and Nola, your finalists for the NL Cy Young Award.
Boy.
DeGrom was 10-9 with a 170.
That's a harder one, isn't it?
It's a little bit harder, yep.
Yeah, a little bit harder.
I am in the camp that pitchers have very little to do with whether they win or lose a game beyond the obvious. They need run support. They need defensive support. They need all that. And, you know, Jacob DeGrom and Blake Snell can't help that their team didn't win as many as the other two guys around them's teams did. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, the MVP is reserved for that.
Sure.
Cy Young, hey, all you can do is get guys out.
But and the fact that there's very little to choose from between these three guys, I mean, how can you go wrong with any of them?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, and maybe I'm being a little bit naive or desirous of the metrics, damn the metrics, recognize the guy for what he does. I want DeGrom to win this.
Yeah, I do too.
I really want DeGrom to win this.
Most dominant pitcher in the National League.
Absolutely.
Among two other studs, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Scherzer, if I wanted to, you know, win a game, for example, it'd be a coin flip between the two guys. And Aaron Nola won 17 or 18 games or something like that. But over and over, Jacob DeGrom gave up 0-1, 0-1, 2 runs every time he went out there. Every time.
And that's and it's not like the other two weren't dominant as well.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of everything else, DeGrom had to create his own energy virtually every time he went out on the hill.
You're right about that.
He knew he wasn't going to get a lot of help. He knew he wasn't pitching for a winning ball club. But by God, they were in a position to win every single game. Literally, I'm not making this up. Literally, every single game that he started, they had a chance to win.
869-1240 if you want to talk about it. Chris is in. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, guys. If I get an echo effect here, let me know. I'll take it off.
No, you're doing good. You're doing good.
Hey, I agree, Bruce. Council, to me, should have won it. I think Snitker's is a pretty good pick. Where I have an issue a little bit, and again, I'm not sour apples because, look, we won it all. We won the big trophy. I'm not – Cora not winning it, but Melvin is surprising to me. I almost would have given it to Kevin Cash before I would give it to Bob Melvin. You know, if you're, especially if you're saying the most with the least, that favors Kevin Cash in Tampa, does it not? Don't you think?
Yeah, and there is, Bruce hit it on the head. It's like there's no criteria for how you can vote, and that's part of the inconsistency of this. That's my two cents. I don't, mm-hmm. Who did more with less? Who coached up the best team? I don't know. And that's the difference between MVP and most outstanding player. You know, your definition of it. People have different definitions for, different awards. And, and some people think pitchers shouldn't win MVPs. And, there's an award for pitchers, and because that's happened in the past too. But
well, pitchers can win MVPs. Don't be ridiculous, right?
I mean, right. No, that's what I'm saying.
In general, don't be ridiculous. I mean, I don't care whether they play every 5 days or not. I mean, that's there's no more important position on the field than the guy that's on the mound. So
anyway, the MVP finalists will the winners will be announced tomorrow night. It's Trout, Betts, and Ramirez in the American League, Javi Baez, Nolan Arenado, Christian Yelich in the National. The Hank Aaron Awards and the Roberto Clemente Award and the Executive of the Year Award have all been handed out already. Yadi was the Roberto Clemente Award, which recognizes those who best represent the game through positive contributions on and off the field, including sportsmanship and community involvement. And the Aaron Awards went to J.D. Martinez and Christian Yelich, two guys that both barely missed winning triple crowns. Yelich became the first Brewer in history to win a batting title, and he also led the NL in slugging percentage, OPS, and total bases. J.D. Martinez, of course, 330 with 130 RBI and 358 total bases, second in home
runs. Did Robin Yount not win a batting title in 82 or whatever year that he was MVP?
I guess not. I mean, that's surprising to read that off of MLB.com, that he becomes the first Brewer in history to win a batting title. But, yeah, that's kind of a head-scratch. We'll have to look that up. So, anyway, coming up next, we'll talk about a little college football, and it's not good news for one Division III program that has lost 53 consecutive games. That particular university, Earlham College, Division III program in the Midwest, most recently lost its final game of the season to Rose Holman, 70-6. And the program is suspending the football activities for a year. And it got me to thinking, what are some of the historically bad football programs in NCAA history? Northwestern, chiefly among them. But there has been a program in recent history that lost 80 consecutive college football games. I'll tell you who that was and have a little historically bad football talk. And Bruce and I return on Sports Daily.